to people. We have a website, experiencethebigbook.org. I've ran out of cards. If you come back, I'll get you an inventory card. I have a few of these cards on the world of alcoholism, and if you study that, it's relevant. We have three meetings a week, and we studied the book, and in September we'll be celebrating our 11th year, the last Saturday in September, and I think I've done 1,400 of these meetings. And it's good to be back. I got back Sunday instead of Saturday, and I did survive it. It was a very, really good opportunity to work the steps, stranded on the Houston tarmac at 9:30 at night when we were supposed to be home in Kansas City. And, you know, I had a brief moment, and I'm afraid to share it. You'll lose all respect for me. But that I thought that really they had conspired. The whole weather system, everybody conspired just to put me on that tarmac. And then that went away. It's like the obsession to drink. And I said, well, that's ridiculous. And I don't have any place to go anyway. And it worked out. It was pretty stressful, though. Traveling stressful. Sunday, we had a great meeting, I think. I don't remember. But Stu listened to it and said it was really good. And we did Doctor's Opinion. We started Doctor's Opinion. And if you come on Sunday night, that's where we are in the book. We're at the beginning of the book for the 11th time on Sunday. Tonight we're on step 3, we're on page 60. And Saturday, if you join us, we're going to be on page 76, I believe. We're looking at steps 8 and 9. For those who are new, we use some other information, handouts, a variety of things, just to learn the message, right? And the other thing that I spent a lot of time on the cruise ship, and I listened to I've been listening to the scriptures, especially the New Testament, the last year and a half. I know the Big Book pretty well, and I've listened to most AA speakers, but I listened to some more of Sandy Beach while I was gone. But it came to me that the whole program is about our alienation from God and how our life is, and our reconciliation with God and how our life is. And the Old Testament is about the alienation, and then the New Testament is about reconciliation. And this is a big book, is a steps given us by God on how we can be reconciled to Him. That's what just occurred to me. It's pretty simple. And so tonight, we're looking on page 60 about how we begin the process of reconnecting to God, conscious contact with God, letting Him direct our lives. Anybody think that's a good idea? Good. Now, it says, we've read this at every meeting, our description of the alcoholic. Anybody ever heard this line before? The chapter of the agnostic and our personal ventures before and after. So they describe what an alcoholic is, what makes you an alcoholic in the first 57 pages. They spend a lot of time on that. Why? If you don't know you're an alcoholic, you're not going to admit you're powerless over alcohol, right? And if you're not powerless over alcohol, you're not going to seek a power to help you have power over alcohol, right? Then if you don't understand why you can't manage your own life, you're not going to seek a power to manage your own life. Now, when Jimmy and I rewrite the Big Book, I haven't talked to him about this yet, but we are going to do it. We're going to add, my life had become unmanageable by me, right? Who made your life unmanageable? Me. And we're going to see how we did that in these pages. So anybody, and the chapter to the agnostic is very simple. They tell you that if you're an alcoholic, you have two choices, either doomed to an alcoholic death or live on a spiritual life. And those are the only alternatives. And if you don't want to do that, they say change your mind. Chapter to the agnostic is very simple. Change your mind. Be willing to believe that there's a power that can help you. Is that very complicated?
Nope.
How long do you need to work on step two? 30 seconds? If you're convinced of step one, step two is exciting, yeah. right? It's good news, right? That there is a power that can help you. And and then it says, our personal ventures before and after make clear three ideas. Now, these are good ideas. Remember it says, let go of your old ideas completely? Anybody remember that? Well, these are three ideas you never want to let go of. You're alcoholic. I'm not going to go through what makes you an alcoholic again. People will leave. And could not manage your own lives. Anybody understand that? Now, it means you're 100% alcoholic, and you 100% you can never manage your life. You can't be 99%. You can't hold on to 1% of your life. Any part of your life you hold on is going to separate you from God, right? And then if you're separated from God, what happens? You don't feel good. Why? Because you're angry, fearful, and you harm people, right? And then your mind tells you you need a drink or a pill. Anybody ever had that happen to them? And then you do it. Even if you've sworn an hour before you would never drink or use again. Absolutely. Swore and passed the lie detector test. And then you don't go to the liquor store and say, you know, I'm a self-centered alcoholic and I'm full of anger and fear and I've harmed a lot of people and I'm emotionally irritable, restless, and discontent. Can I please have a bottle? Anybody ever do that? No, but that's what happens. I mean, we're laughing because we understand it, but it's sad, isn't it? And so when they wrote this page, is the next few pages, they changed the world. The information we're going to read tonight changed the world. It gave us hope. And it says, I'm alcoholic and could not manage my own life. No human power could have relieved her alcoholism. Now, that's not a subtle thing. No human power. That means New Dawn. That means the doctor's office. That means the step meetings. It means this meeting, fellowship. It's all human power. That's not going to be sufficient to relieve your alcoholism. Now, of course, we need the meetings to study the book, to follow the directions together in a community spirit, to support each other. But the power comes from God. No human power can relieve our alcoholism. Anybody believe that? You believe it 100%. Mm-hmm. Anybody not believe it 100%? All right. I think you're all fooling yourselves, because I believe 100% that no human power can relieve my alcoholism, but then I'll go home tonight and make decisions about something. You get it? You see, we believe it, but it's hard to follow through. Our minds are constantly giving us different ideas, and we take the power back. Does anybody ever do that?
Oh, yeah.
All right. But we know in our hearts and hearts that we need God. That this says. And then what's the next line? They use the word that God could and would if he were sought. That is a promise. It's a guarantee. Could and would if he were sought. And they say on the end of page 57, if we can go back, is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
It says, even so, God has restored us to all to our right minds. We can see the truth about alcohol. God has given us power, right? To this man, the revelation was sudden. Some of us growing more slowly, but he has come to all who have honestly sought him. That's all you have to do. When we drew near to him, he disclosed himself to us. That's all AA is saying. Draw near, do the steps, and God will disclose himself to us. We don't have to worry about what God is or any of that. We just do the steps, and he will disclose himself to us. Does that happen to anybody in the room? Yes, and it continues to happen all the time. So now let's go back. That God could and would if he were sought. So your job in AA is to be a God seeker. You have two jobs, trusted servant and a God seeker, all the time. Now, do you ever stop seeking God in AA?
No.
No, because 10, 11, and 12, we have to do it all the time, every minute. Now, if you're having a bad day, I can guarantee it's for the 10 minutes when you stop seeking God. You're seeking your way. And we do it all the time. So we have to remind ourselves when we're separated how we feel. We need to get back to God. That's all they're saying. And that's what steps 6 and 7 and 10, 11 and 12 are all about. So it says, being convinced. Are you convinced of that? Is everybody convinced of that? Now, being convinced means firm in one's belief. Now, when they use the word convinced, they mean very firm. And you have to be convinced right in here. Because if you're not, you're not going to do the rest of the steps. Why do you think they spent 59 pages in Doctor's Opinion on all this? Because if you, the rest of the steps is where you're going to try to destroy your self-centeredness. And remember, Bill said, simple but not easy. A price has to be paid. It's not easy. And remember on page 25, I hate to go back and forth. It drives people crazy. But it has a very powerful line in there. It's very subtle. It says, there is a solution. Get the hint? But what is it says? Almost none of us like the self-searching, the leveling of our pride, the confessing of shortcomings, which the process requires for its successful consummation. It's hard, right? It's hard to give up on ourselves. And so going back to page 60, being convinced we're at step 3. And then which is that we decided, we make a decision to turn my will and my life over to God as I understood him. Anybody like that line? It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? But what are you actually deciding to do? You're turning. You're going to turn your thinking away from you and whatever this is that talks to you. Does anybody have something that talks to you all the time, tells you things? And you've been listening to that your whole life, and it's given you a lot of bad information, hasn't it? And you're going to turn away from what you think your old idea is to a new idea, which is God. And as soon as we turn away from ourselves, God automatically is there. You say, God can and will if he saw it. So we're going to turn my thinking and my life over to the care of God. And it says over to God as we understand him. Anybody think that's a good idea?
Yes.
Yeah, it's essential. But why? Because my life was unmanageable and I'm alcoholic. And no human power can relieve my alcoholism. And God couldn't win if he were sought. So working on step three is just a decision. Right? And we're going to look at why we make the decision. Just what do we mean by that? What do they mean by that? And just what do we do? Well, we do the rest of the steps. But they're going to tell you exactly what they mean by it and just what do we do in the next few pages. So what does it mean to decide to turn your will and life over to God, and what do we do? So the first requirement. Now, requirement is a compulsive or necessary condition. This is not something that you can ignore. This is required for all alcoholics at this point that you be convinced, again, a firm conviction or belief, that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. Now, they don't know that you're convinced, but they know it's required. So the next two pages are going to tell you what that looks like so that you'll be ready to make a decision on page 62. Does this make sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then what makes up self-will? And I looked up self-will. You know what it said, the definition is? They didn't say alcoholic, but they could have substituted. They said the stubborn or willful adherence to one's own desires or ideas. I'll say that again. The stubborn or willful adherence to one's own desires or ideas. Has anybody ever done that in this room? Oh, yeah. Obstinately doing what one wants in spite of the wishes or orders of others. Anybody here have authority issues? Anybody? 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 And doing what you want in spite of warnings or what others want. See how it is? Self-will. All right. So if you're living on a life based on self-will, it says on that basis, where you're having a stubborn or willful adherence to one's own desires or ideas, You're always in collision with somebody or something. Can you see how that would happen? Always in collision. It doesn't say you're going to have a good day. You're always in collision with somebody or something, even though your motives were good. Now, they're being funny here, because your motives is your rationale, and our motives were always good, right? What was the problem with it? They were my motives. Notice the word "our" in front of it. They weren't God's motives for me. They were my motives for me. And if you notice, on page 84, oh, I hate to do this, but it shows, I do this because the book is tied together. Page 84, it's where you're on step 10 and you're in the world of the Spirit. You're with God. And when you're in the world of God, it says at the bottom, we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. You're not in conflict anymore with everybody. Isn't that a great promise? Mm-hmm. Then there's also one other time where they talk about the collision on page 103, which is the last page of the 12 steps. And it says, the last paragraph in squiggly writing, look at this. After all, my problems were of my own making. Bottles were only a symbol of what? My spiritual malady, my separation from God, that was treating my self-centeredness. Besides, we have stopped fighting anybody or anything. We have to. See how it all ties together? Now they're starting on step 3 and showing us we're going to be in collision. And if you work these steps, you get to page 84. You're not fighting everybody or anything. Isn't that a blessing? Wouldn't it be great to go through the day and you're not fighting anybody or anything? You're just at peace. Most people try to live by self-propulsion. You know what self-propulsion means? One's own power. Most people do. I mean, all human beings. If you read the book of Romans, we all do, right? Each person is like an actor who wants to run the whole show. Now, I'm going to give you a hint. We're an extreme example of what they're going to describe. Because it says on the next page, we're an extreme example of self-will run riot. So we're an extreme example of a stubborn or willful adherence to one's own ideas. Get the picture? We're laughing because we know it's true and we don't have to be like that anymore. Isn't that a gift? So for people who are new, you're reading this, you don't have to be this way anymore. Each person is like an actor who wants to run the whole show. Now, I read that for a while and I didn't realize that there was anything wrong with that. Is there anything wrong with that? Yeah. The actor is not the director. We have a director, it's God. But I'm running the whole show for everybody else, and I'm just the actor. Now, let's see how that works for me. It says, I'm forever trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, the scenery, and the rest of the players, which is the whole world. Now, here's the key line, in his own way. I'm arranging it the way I want it to be. Anybody else do that? Mm-hmm. I didn't like being on the tarmac. If I was in charge of the world, that would not have happened. But I wasn't in charge of the world. Guess what? I wasn't the only one in the airplane. Son of a bitch. Oh, I'm on tape. But anyway, in his own way, the whole world in his own way. Anybody do that? If his arrangements, now, you see, I got some new stuff out of this because I'm rested now. It says his arrangements. Not God's arrangements. If my arrangements would only stay put, and here's some really twisted thinking. If only people would do as I wished, my arrangements, my way, the show would be great. Anybody ever read that before and thought it was good? Great for who, I wrote. And you know what? It never is, was it? It's never good enough. The human ego is never satisfied. Now, here's another delusion. Everybody, including myself, would be pleased. Now, the other thing I forgot to mention, I'm on a roll tonight, is that you have to read this in the first person. And the other thing about the big book, and I don't emphasize it enough, is each line is really a question. You read the line, and then the question is this true for you? And you read another line, is this true for you? And it's a series of questions. In fact, if we had written this out, we could have written a series of questions. And then if you answer them, then you see if it's true for you. Everybody, including myself, would be pleased. Life would be wonderful. Now, did anybody ever have a really good day? Sure. It went our way, right? We got what we wanted. But then you might worry that it won't last. Anybody ever do that? Or that tomorrow something will happen. So it was never wonderful. I was always anxious. In trying to make these arrangements, my arrangements, the actor may be quite virtuous. There's nothing wrong with being virtuous, is it? I may be kind, considerate, patient, generous, even modest, and self-sacrificing. That sounds good too, doesn't it? What's wrong with that? You're just trying to get your way. You're not being virtuous to be of service to God and others. You're being virtuous to get what you want. You're manipulating people. You're manipulating the world to get your way. On the other hand, if the good things don't work, you become mean and egotistical. Anybody do that? Selfish and dishonest. But as with most humans, he is more likely to have varied traits. And I wrote, always self-seeking in all our behavior. Joe and Charlie made the point. I didn't like it, but I think it was true. I had to listen to it twice. They said an alcoholic never does something good for someone without a self-centered motives, except by mistake. Now think about it. We always had something that we were going to get out of everything. We weren't bad people. It's going to tell you, you're not a bad person. You just had the wrong director. You thought you had to have your own power, right? You thought you had to run the whole show, right? And it's going to tell us why in a few minutes. So is this pretty good stuff so far? So what usually happens? Okay, you're the actor. You're running the whole world. You're telling everybody what to do. The show doesn't come off very well. In fact, the fourth step is looking at your life self-centered and how it didn't come off very well at all. And here's, I don't know if normal people would get this, but this is alcoholism. I begin to think life doesn't treat me right. Right? I'm pissing everybody off. I'm using all these character defects to get my way. And life isn't fair. Have you ever seen a new person come in and they tell you how it's just not fair? Right? You know, they got the DUI. They should have taken Wanamaker instead of the freeway. Mm-hmm. It's just not fair, right? You've heard that. All right. So life's not fair. It's not coming off. So what do we do as alcoholics? We're going to work harder. We're going to exert himself more on who? On other people or the world. We tried really hard. Was it exhausting?
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you, for me, the moment of defeat, when I really gave up, it was such a relief. When I was just done fighting everybody and everything. I don't know about anybody else. And it's a relief for me today when I give up running the things, when I'm taking control in my life. So what do? We become, on the next occasion, still more demanding or gracious, as the case might be. But still, the play does not suit him. In fact, if you look back at your whole life, you're always a little uneasy. I never felt completely okay. There was something missing. And what Dr. Young told Bill W. was our longing for God. We had a longing for God, and as alcoholics, we were separated, and we had that longing. And alcohol and drugs filled that. But it didn't work, did it? So still the play doesn't suit him. Admitting he may be somewhat at fault, aren't we nice? He is sure. Now notice the word, sure. We're certain that other people are more to blame. If you ask new people why they're here, they will give you a long saga about someone or something that got them here. And in their own mind, it makes sense, but it's not really the issue. We always have someone to blame, don't we? Why? Because we never want to take responsibility for our actions. And AA is where we become responsible for our actions. And we change our behavior, right? We don't change anybody else's. So we become angry. Any angry people in here? Indignant or self-pitying? what is his basic trouble? And I actually wrote it out because it's five questions. So they tell me, if you ask somebody when they come in here, what is your basic trouble? And they'll give you a lot of information, but the big book tells us what it is. It's five things. Am I not a self-seeker when trying to be kind? Think about that. Anybody a people pleaser here? Well, we're only pleasing people to get our way. Did anybody try to make somebody like them who you really hated? Now that's really ill, isn't it? But we would do that because we wanted everybody to like us. It was crazy because that's how we built self-esteem. It's really sad, but you know, that's just, and we weren't bad people. We just had the wrong director and it led to all this thinking. Am I not a victim? Here's the one. This is the one my whole life. I was a victim of the delusion. A delusion is something that's not true. It's a thought that's based on fantasy that I can wrest satisfaction and happiness out of this world if I only manage well. Anybody say yes to that? Mm-hmm. But every alcoholic, that is the real problem. There was a delusion that if I could just work harder or manage better, I would be happy. Anybody else have that? Is it not evident to all the rest of these players that these are the things I want? You see, the whole world sees us, and a lot of people don't like us at all because they see where we're coming from. Do not my actions make each of the players wish to retaliate, snatching all they can out of the show? When you do your resentments, you see that the people you resented, you see them actually, whatever they're doing is retaliating against how you were to them. You see? And then, am I not even my best moments a producer of confusion rather than harmony? And what Joe and Charlie explained is that people don't know how to deal with us because they don't know if we're going to be virtuous, kind, considerate, patient, generous, or be the mean, egotistical, selfish, dishonest a-hole. They don't know what's coming through the door. Can you see that? So we were very hard to deal with. That's why we're in conflict with everybody or anything. So then it says our actor is self-centered. Egocentric, as people like to call it nowadays. And then they talk about the businessman. I saw people on this cruise ship. It was a very nice cruise ship. It was very, very, very nice. And they're having this thing, and they're complaining about everything. You know, they didn't bring the coffee fast enough, and they didn't have the right cookies. And, you know, and you see how really sad it is. It was very sad. And then the minister who sighs over the sins of the 20th century, well, he wouldn't have a job. Politicians and reformers who are sure all would be utopia if the rest of the world would behave. You see, it's everybody else. And the outlaw who thinks society's wronged him. And here it is, the alcoholic who is lost on is locked up. Whatever our protestations are not most of us concerned with ourselves, our resentments, and our self-pity. Isn't that true? If you're having a bad day tomorrow, ask yourself, am I concerned with me, my resentments, or am I in self-pity? Usually is, because you're back in self. Now the good news, and we're going to stop here, is I don't have to be that way anymore. This is a great promise. I don't have to be that way anymore unless I choose to. So I think that's a good place to stop, everybody think? And then we'll talk about it. And then this handout is what makes up self-will, if you can bring it next week. Most people don't know what makes up self-will, and they talk about it all the time. So thanks, everybody. Good to be back. Oh, Saturday, Steps 8, and Sunday night, Doctor's Opinion. Thank you.